Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I hope that this show will break the internet, because when the crowds of the internet are pissed at someone, you know, half and half. Sometimes I join in, sometimes I step aside. And tonight I step aside, because I finally had time to research the whole story of Elisa Bleu. I've been commenting on her stuff for a couple of days, but I've been mostly commenting about the censorship issue, the whole aspect of people can't share a picture. We'll get to that detail. But tonight is a full deep dive on the human being, Elisa Bleu, and I'm discovering a woman that is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And, you know, there's so much hate thrown at her, it may not be a smart thing to do to support Elisa Bleu tonight, but, you know, my autism, I don't care about what people think. I've been engaging all day on Twitter with her detractors, with people who claim she's a liar, she's this, she's that. And I have to say, I have gathered data that makes a solid case that Elisa Bleu doesn't seem to be lying. You may not be satisfied about the amount of information she reveals about her stories, but to a certain extent, that's her right. And what I find is that people have been misinterpreting the dates. And so we need a timeline tonight. That's why I popped out the woke pad. And you know, when the woke pad comes in, there's going to be some heavy autism tonight. We will be listing all the things that are good about her story and her, all the things that are bad. And it is my hope that at the end, if you're reasonable and you listen to me and you let me show you the lies that have been told about this girl and the factual errors as it relates to her timeline, which made her look like she may be lying, but she wasn't. I hope to convince you that there is much more good things about Elisa Bleu and very little bad things. And the bad things kind of give her a charm. So let's get through it. How are you doing, DK Shadow? Go away on the regular chat. Let's get started. By the way, I've established a timeline of her entire life to deconfuse people, because so many people are convinced that she is lying because they've known her at a specific date. You won't know if you see Elisa Bleu in 2007 and she's smiling and not talking about human trafficking, that doesn't mean she wasn't human trafficked before you saw her or after you saw her. So this timeline was heavily needed because it was nowhere to be found, and I've established it. Here it is. And I've made a copy of this as an addendum on Twitter. So if you want to retweet and do your own research, this is a timeline of all the real things that I could establish about Elisa Bleu and all of her claims. So why are we talking about Elisa Bleu? There may be some people who don't know who she is. Elisa Bleu is one of these just crazy young women. Crazy young woman who had a dream, which was to become a rock star. Like so many people, that is totally understandable. But she got trapped into a series of networks of exploitation that turned her, at times, her desire for fame, her thirst for fame, driven her toward toxic environments. When I say young woman, she's not a young woman now, but she was a young, because I've been digging through so much of her old videos and her old history that I see a kid, okay? I see she could be my daughter. And that's why I think of her as a young woman. I understand that she's actually older than me now. But my God, did she leave an internet trace, this woman. Constantly on the look for fame. But is that, and a lot of people, a lot of guys on the internet are throwing that to her face, saying, oh, look at her, she always wants attention. But it's not because you want fame and attention that you're a liar. It's not because you want fame and attention that you won't end up being human trafficked or sex trafficked or pimped. So let's get through the timeline here. So I established that she is 41 years old as 2023. As of now, she has tweeted about it, which puts her birth year in 1981. I'm born in 1984. Me Too says, real name Eliza Blur. No, she has had many nicknames. Eliza Cuts, Eliza Sieve, or whatever. She's had a couple of them, but she always switched to a new Eliza when she changes mode. So one of the big confusion that happens is that she was groomed between 15 and 17 years old, and she was groomed until she was 17 and moved to LA, where she claims she has been sold by a musician to an old man. She has been sold 48 hours after arriving in LA, and basically was a kind of sex slave for a small amount of time or whatever. Eventually, she was also addicted to drugs, went back home to her parents. Now, there's a time point where she appears on a blind date episode. You know, one of these old shows where where you date someone and they're trying to put you together with a male. So she appeared on this blind date episode, and a lot of people based the idea that she lied based on what this episode reports, which is that she was 21. But she would be 24 or 25, according to my calculation, in 2006. Now, I will note, a blind date episode, the producers are not necessarily journalists. Like, they wrote on the screen that she was 21. She may have lied to them. It may be because they had to lie about it because they wanted the girl to be younger than the man. So I wouldn't rely on a blind date VHS recording to say Eliza Blur is a big liar, because no one knows whether she even had a role in presenting herself as 21. So it doesn't matter. She was looking for fame. Starts hanging out with stars. And here the old man who would have bought her and given her drugs would be somewhat known, but, you know, not necessarily a mega star, but rich and somewhat known, you know. In 2006, the blind date appearance. In 2007, starts hanging around Jeffree Star, the My Chemical Romance band, and she will fall in love with the singer. She was always trying to date singers, to date. She was trying to elevate herself in fame and in, you know, be with the alpha males of the singing game. So be it. Now, a lot of people make the error of knowing some facts about her in 2006 and 2007 and concluding, therefore, oh, we were there, she wasn't trafficked. Well, here's the thing. She doesn't claim to have been trafficked or prostitute in 2006-2007. She was an MCR fangirl hanging around MySpace and, you know, music-related stuff. In 2008-2009, she starts getting what she calls trafficked in Chicago by someone that she doesn't name but claim is an athlete, a trafficker athlete. In 2009 up to 2013, she has appearances in MySpace and Stickam as an e-celeb. She presents herself as a video vixen in hip-hop videos, that is, a woman who dances somewhat sexily to the camera for hip-hop videos. And that might be the origin of the World Star hip-hop video, where, now that we know, which has been removed from YouTube. She appears on American Idol, but doesn't get successful at the audition. She appears in small shows where she has a clown dress, so trying to start her singing career in these times. And 2013-2014 leaves her Chicago trafficker athlete, helped by a group that supports women to do that kind of thing, that will start I mean, I'm not even meaning it negatively, but brainwashing women to get them out of the prostitution domain. And there is evidence gathered by the Daily Beast that within those years, it is true that she was featured on sexual cam sites. So, okay, I can believe that someone who's involved in the cam business as a manager, as a pimp, I can believe that this pimp may be coercive to some extent. Now, we have to talk about the definition of human trafficking when Eliza Blur says it, because a lot of people's critique of her is, well, she was just a prostitute. And her definition of human trafficking is any sort of labor or sex work or sex that is obtained and commercialized with fraud, coercion, or force to obtain it. I think it's a reasonable definition. Because, well, first, legally, I mean, you could make a case in court that even if someone doesn't hit you, that they could coerce you into sex. And that would be human trafficking. So I think that her definition is reasonable. You may not like it, you may think it's overblown, you may think, but the semantic debate should be left aside here. That's what Eliza Blur says is human trafficking. So when she says, I'm a victim of human trafficking, it may mean I have been coerced into giving out sexual favors or sexual performances on cams or prostitution work, the game. So primarily, when I look at this timeline, I don't see anything inconsistent. Yet, a lot of people have been publishing threads and The Quartering and Brittany Venti have been... I think it's unfair that they were hung up, they were suspended from Twitter for a while. Let's leave the question of censorship aside. However, they have asked questions and suggested by retweeting the tweet threads of other people that Eliza Blur had something to clarify about her story. I will say, faced with this timeline, if you tell me I was friend of Eliza Blur in 2007 and she never got trafficked, you don't know what you're talking about. Because Eliza Blur was not getting trafficked in 2007. The only evidence that I would allow is if you knew her personally and saw things between 2009 and 2014, or in 1999, in the few days where she got sold for $500 to this old man, which eventually she escaped after being overdosed, basically. Well, escaped. It's that she became so much trouble, apparently, because of her drug addiction, that her trafficker got rid of her because it was just too much trouble. She ended up in the hospital and therefore was sent back to her parents. So that is the basis. Now we're going to review the story and what people claim, but that is the basis that I want you to keep in mind. Two periods of claims of human trafficking, sex trafficking. And therefore, a lot of the people who didn't know about these two periods, and a lot of people say on the internet, well, I knew you in 2007, you didn't talk about human trafficking, so how is it possible? You would have told us. Not true. First, the narrative that you have been the victim of human trafficking can take decades to develop. You may not understand that you have been human trafficked. Eventually, you might come to understand it. And it is not to be reproached to Eliza Blur that she realized, perhaps she realized as part of the brainwashing operation, as part of the recruitment by this group of females who take you out of your pimp. Perhaps it is these people who have convinced her, hey, you've been the victim of human trafficking, and now she realizes it. So it's not because you were her friend in 2007 that you will know whether she was human trafficked. She may not have known it at the time herself. DK Shadow says, actual traffickers use non-physical coercion all the time. For instance, taking away their passports, controlling all their finances, Absolutely. Micronova says some woman can't be trusted with spending their money. You need to control it and regulate it for her sake. Impulse control checking. That is absolutely true. Those two statements are true. Sometimes it is a tool of coercion to control a woman's money. Sometimes it is just better for her. I fully agree with this. So I want to establish some good things about this whole story. Because I don't see them mentioned by our detractors. And I'm like, wait a minute. She's warning young girls about going to LA to become basically child prostitutes. That is a good thing. I mean, let's grant it to her. I mean, why would you want to call bullshit on everything she says? Her message is, hey, young 16 years old, 17 years old, don't go sell your body to LA with the goal of becoming a star. You're going to be exploited. That sounds like a reasonable thing. There may be fathers in the regular chat. That sounds like something I would want any daughter that I have to be influenced by. I would want them to understand, hey, there are networks of exploitation and grooming out there that will first charm you with the idea of celebrity and everything, then with love, and then they will transform you into a prostitute once you get there and once you're dependent, and they will make you addicted to drugs. So it's an anti-degeneracy message. It's an anti-drugs message. Why is the internet fucking pissed at this woman? She's doing the Lord's work, as we say. Silver Spider has sent a super chat. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. If you'd like to send super chats, add a payment method to your Odyssey account. Silver Spider says, hey Jeff, Jordan Peterson told me to be the strongest person at my father's funeral, which I now realize was awful advice, especially since he himself cries at everything. Did you ever think of releasing a based JF version of 12 Rules for Life that gives your style of no-nonsense advice? I think the world needs it. That is an excellent idea. I had never thought about it. But it's true that I would have a very different 12 Rules than the Jordan Peterson rules. Very good idea. You're actually tempting me there. Yeah, you know, being the strongest person at my father's funeral? No. First, my father has died and I was away. I was away from home. So I had to travel a lot to go back to my father's funeral. And I wouldn't say I was the strongest. To the contrary, because everyone had already gone through the process of accepting his death, but I had not seen him die. I had not seen him for months. And so when I got there, of course, I was one of the most emotional because everyone had learned to deal with it. Everyone was managing the funeral arrangements and everything. I got thrown into this moment of realization that he was dead. At the very funeral. So there are circumstances definitely that will lead you not to be the strongest. And what is this anyway? Thomas O'Ward says, why is this all controversial? What happened to Me Too and Believe All Women? Is she accusing the wrong people? If Harvey Weinstein can get taken down, anybody below Soros, Schwab, and Lord Rothschild in the spider hierarchy can too. Yeah, and anyway, she's not even getting into the business of naming her exploiters. She says partly justified by legal considerations, partly justified by fear that there may be reprisal against her. And so it's not like she's tarnishing the name of anyone. She claims that she has this story that happens to her. So those are some of the good things. Good message for the youth to warn them about this exploitation. It's very right-wing when you think about it. It makes a lot of sense to warn people about the dangers of Hollywood and the exploitation that happens there. It's important to warn the parents of today also to, you know, don't send your child, don't drive your child to LA. That is the most stupid thing you can ever do. Of course, they want to be connected. Of course, they have this old glamour, but you have to take them out of this delusion because they're going to get exploited, especially a young woman. So, I also want to give credit to our opposition, the people of the internet who are complaining about Eliza Blair. I think that they are often factually wrong, and I will demonstrate that they are factually wrong. But there is something legitimate in criticizing socially the double dipping that women constantly do. The double dipping of I'm going to use my vagina to the maximal extent to reach fame and money and drugs and anything that they want, really. And then I'm going to double dip on it. I'm going to also, after the fact, see all of my past as being victimized and reinterpret everything through the lens of victimization. And I'm going to make a career out of, I'm going to get the last bit of fame that I can for all those things that I've actively participated to. And so here's a bad thing that I want to note. Eliza Blair's victimization, reconception of herself, and language often leaves something to be desired in terms of acknowledgement of her own guilt. This is something that I think of all the things, of all the unfair criticism that are sent to her, I would highly recommend that she uses more straightforward language to acknowledge her agency. Because a lot of the words that she uses is coercion, I was victimized, I'm a survivor. You are also someone who ran toward trouble like a dodo, Eliza Blair. And properly educating the next generation of young females to not fall in the traps that you fell. Ask yourself, could I have done things differently? Could I have detected signs that would have allowed me to protect myself from this coercion? Because you went in the heart of troubles. You went in LA and then you went to Chicago, just in case you hadn't had enough. You went to the heart of the trouble that you put yourself in, and to only present you as a survivor, as a victim, it misses something. It misses, hey, I'm not just a survivor, I have participated to my own fate here, and I am responsible for it. I would like to see a little more language when you do these interviews, because you have to put it out there so that the young females of today don't say, oh my God, that is so sad what happened to her. I just hope it doesn't happen to me. It's like, no, you don't stop hoping. You can totally set your life in a way that you won't end up in these situations. You can totally detect all of the warning signs, and you should be trained to detect the warning signs of someone who will abuse you or traffic you in those ways. And you can totally put yourself in situations where you won't be running after your next dose of crystal meth. And that will put you in a situation where you and the people around you are not so needy that you're willing to sell your body for money. That needs to be said. And that's a bad thing about what I've seen today about Eliza Blair. She's not putting enough accent on this. Enjoyer says it misses that she was an active protagonist, not a passive victim. Exactly. And if she was more clear about this, I think that a lot of the arguments would automatically fall because a lot of the arguments are basically, hey, you've been a prostitute. You've been prostituting yourself. Maybe there was a pimp involved. Maybe you felt coerced at some times. Maybe you felt extremely fearful for yourself at some times. But ultimately, you have entered in these toxic relationships on your own. Cloud Warmer says, maybe for the end of your show, since you mentioned it, I have become very excited for photonic processors. Oh yeah, I'm very excited about it. I can check out the links you sent later. But I haven't even begun to review the life of Elisa Blur, so let's get started. So that's what I wanted to recognize today in my tweet. Because a lot of people are insulted by how much hate she's getting. And I wanted to point out that there is a legitimate human desire to correct a woman when she attempts to double dip on something she has previously consented to. I said it's not so much about pleasure. It's about a natural human reaction to double dipping. Too many women try to benefit from their sexuality and do benefit from it, only to then deconsent after the fact and try to, in turn, benefit from their newly found victimization. Men do not have such an option. They are exploited both by the woman exploiting her sexuality for advancement and then by the one asking them to take her in pity. The evolutionary response to this is social shaming for the double dipping. And she is double dipping. Like all Me Too victims, what is the one common thread of all Me Too victims? They were all using their body for advancement. Let me tell you something, ladies. Papa JF does not have this option. So you are out there complaining about your privilege. I wanted fame as much as Elisa Blur, and I couldn't suck a dick for it, okay? This is what Elisa Blur has to understand. You have been given an option by God, and you've taken it. I don't have that option. I can't be the dick sucker at 19 years old who elevates himself through Hollywood. And I can't be the victim of human trafficking at 40-year-old because no one will human traffic me. I mean, maybe some sick freaks out there would. Aquanote says, I mean, there was Kevin Spacey. There was Kevin Spacey, Jeff. maybe. But I don't think I'm his style. I don't think that would have worked. So, this is an example of a guy arguing against Elisa Blur, and he says as follows. 2007 Chicago, guy filming is some kind of blogger named A. Chris. I believe this video totally contradicts Elisa Blur, trafficked and sold narrative at 17, or being trafficked at all, drug addictions, fairy tale. Plain to see she's not on drugs or at most cannabis, if that. My mom sees everything, I tell her everything, interesting, and once again, all her BS is exposed. So, has there been exposition of any BS here? Well, let's go back to our timeline. This guy is filming Elisa Blur in 2007, while she's an MCR fangirl hanging out with Jeffree Star. But that is not the moment she's on drug. She's on drugs at only one moment in this whole thing. It's 1999, where she gets given crystal meth or something of that kind. And she gets trafficked by an old man. So that moment where you see this video from 2007, that would be 8 years after she has done her overdose and got sent back to her parents. So you haven't proven anything. And since we are before 2008-2009, she is not yet being trafficked by Chicago pimps. So, inconsistency invalid. Harry Azrak, abolished, not an argument. Invalid. Denied. Now, there is some strong arguments. I will not go through the details, but she has been interviewed by Shane Cashman, and people currently on the internet are just dumping on Shane Cashman from Timcast. He has made a three-part series going to interview Elisabler in person and interviewing her parents. I will tell you, this work is well done, and those articles seem credible to me. They don't go into the detail of the dates, but she tells her story, and I can overlay it on the timeline that I've drawn from other sources, and it totally works. Also, I will note, Elisabler is said to have revealed the name of the 1999 old man to Shane Cashman, and Shane Cashman says, "I have verified this guy exists. He still lives at the place where she claims she was living." So Shane Cashman is saying maybe she's lying and she reverse engineered the name of the guy. You know, she found a guy and then she gives it to me. But he says the guy lives where she claims he lives. So that's one thing. Another thing, Shane Cashman spoke directly to her mother. And her mother was there the moment she got back home after her overdose. And she was apparently on a rolling chair, and she was asleep and completely confused and unable to talk and respond for 5 days. So it's credible to me. I don't see why her mother would lie. Shane Cashman just went to their farmhouse and asked her about the story. It looks credible that in 1999 or soon thereafter, she got sent back to her mother and was in bad condition. She was traumatized by drug addiction, overdose, and sexual exploitation. Those are credible elements of the Timcast story, and I just don't understand why people are sharing on Twitter. They're saying Shane Cashman just ruined his career, Timcast ruined his career for saving Elisabler. I don't get it, guys. I don't get it because when I review your arguments, they're false. Okay, so where do I get that she's 41 years old now? Here's a tweet, January 12. She's 41 years old. Way past my prime, there are better looking and better talkers. My advocacy speaks for itself. I do all of my public advocacy for free. So that's where I get her age and where I can reconstruct the rest of her timeline. My timeline also, although I had drawn my timeline before consulting this article, I will say this Daily Beast article, the title is misleading because there is no basis that her friends have against her story. Yet they are titling, Elisabler's own friends aren't buying her trafficking story. But when you read the article, what's happening? Well, it's a bunch of people who have known her either here in 2006, 2007, and they say, oh, she never talked about being sexually trafficked. Well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know because it happened outside of this window. And then there's a roommate of hers who has known her in those years. And she says she was well off. Her parents were paying everything for her, so she didn't need money. Well, it's not because she's well off that she is not in the process of getting recruited by a pimp. And in fact, this very roommate eventually admits later in the article, oh yeah, there's this one time where she came back to us and we had not seen her for a while, and she started saying, hey, you should prostitute yourself. I'm making $500 a night. It's awesome. So it's very clear from the article that there is no legitimate basis to not buy her trafficking story. When you ask people, do you believe her? You have to determine, do they have the grounds to not believe her? Do they know something that she would be lying about? They know nothing that she's lying about because the interviews either friends of hers that were in the period of the Jeffree Star fame rise and kissing leaders of music group, which was not a moment of sexual trafficking, or they're asking to friends of hers in Chicago that didn't know much about her prostitution activity, but they did hear about it. So in a way, they confirm the story of Eliza Blair rather than affirm it. So here's another thing that is bad with this. So the whole aspect of censorship. Prominent YouTubers locked out of Twitter after sharing Eliza Blair photo from her own video. And here I would be tempted to say, well, that's a bad thing. Censoring creators for being critical of you, even if they got it wrong, should they be censored because they're critical of you or because they got some facts wrong? There is something that revolves around this world star hip hop video. So Eliza Blair has solicited at that time, being in Chicago, she wanted to work with big stars. And it's pretty clear that to me that she wanted to work as a video dancer. In fact, I will show a stream of her where she calls her own mom and tells her, hey, are you okay if I become a video vixen for hip-hop videos? So it's clear to me that she was engaging with these things consensually. However, you have to get back to the fact that this World Star hip-hop video is a music video which is overlaid over her showing her boobs, showing her legs, showing her ass to the camera. And then there's the complex question that arises. Because WorldStar has answered to inquiries through emails, and they have said, we have paid her for these videos. They were consensually filmed. So that's one thing. That's their claim. Eliza Blair, on her side, claims that the pictures of her appearing in this video were unconsensual. Does she have a right to claim them out of social media? Well, is she claiming them out because of copyright matters or because of human trafficking matter? There could be two claims that are legitimate that she may have. One, okay, I filmed consensually in front of the camera those videos, but I didn't sell the copyrights to World Star Hip Hop. I didn't know they were going to use it on a hip hop song, and I don't consent to this. That's a point based around copyrights. Yeah, I won't show the video, Tillman, don't worry. This video has been banished from everything. I won't show it. But I've reviewed it, and first, there is no evidence on this filming that she's following the beat of the song. That's one thing I note as a video producer, which means it could have been filmed as part of her webcam, web girl career, could have been filmed as part of her prostitution career, could have been filmed as part of her dreaming to be whatever, a singer or whatever. And then it was used and overlaid on a song that was unrelated to her movements. So she may have a legitimate claim that she has the copyright and has never consented to this particular use of the video. If that's the case, her claims are legitimate. Although she's trying to silence people who are critical of her, she has the copyright to claim that. Now, another legitimate argument that she may have maybe around coercion. So she may say, well, I did sign away rights, but I was under the coercion of a pimp at this time, and he forced me to sign it. That could be an argument made in court, in which case this video is a video of human trafficking because my pimp was forcing me to do it. That would also be valid. And so I'm tempted here to say I had hesitations around the censorship, but she may have a legitimate claim, so I'm going to remove this claim from the bad things. Because we don't know. We don't know. It's uncertain. The platforms have seemed to approach this from a, let's be overly cautious, perspective. But let's put that aside, whether she has a legitimate claim or not on censoring others who use pictures of this. What is the goal of showing these videos? These videos, let's go back to the timeline. These videos come from Well, they were published in 2016. So they would have been filmed in her Chicago era between 2009 and 2013. That would be the time where she was a cam girl, maybe a prostitute, associated with this athlete trafficker from Chicago from a gang. It makes total sense to me that she's filmed this video as part of her sex work or sex labor that was extorted from her, if you want to say it that way. And so showing this video has no function. It doesn't demonstrate a lie of hers. It doesn't demonstrate that she wasn't that she wasn't human trafficked. It just shows that she has engaged to some degree of willfulness in the filming of a video showing sexy poses of her. But it's not sufficient to show that she's lying, because she may have been in a coercive state of mind. That's why I'm removing the censorship from the bad things. I think it's still something we have to be extremely careful, because we don't want to silence creators. We want all of this to be discussed and laid out on the public space. But ultimately, I don't have proof that she's wrong in doing it. Maybe she has legitimate rights to claim there. Also, she has recently claimed on Twitter that the showing of these videos in which, you know, you can capture, you know, takes of her ass and takes of her side boobs, that by creators just putting these screenshots on Twitter, that it was a form of human trafficking, that it was a form of sexual exploitation. We'll get to her tweet later. Is that false? Well, she claims that it's image-based shaming of some kind. Let me get the full term that she uses on this. Okay. Today, I have decided to change my story as a survivor. I have been abused a third time on a massive digital scale. It's called image-based sexual abuse. Every individual who knowingly profited off of this content without my consent has become my abuser in my story. And the community of Twitter has been successful at adding context, a context layout here, where they say the recent events surrounding Eliza Blur do not meet the definition of image-based sexual abuse. All of the content was consensually recorded, publicly produced, and initially consensually distributed. Consent cannot be withdrawn from this type of media after the fact. It's a legitimate point, but I would say you don't know. You don't know for sure that she wasn't coerced in... Maybe her signature may have been imitated even. So what I'll say to this is, I find it extremely sad that we are giving the power to women to censor before getting through a trial. That's basically the danger from the censorship side, where Twitter and YouTube are like, all right, let's act the most carefully we can here. Let's grant her request, because she may have a case. But then you get to the, what is the definition of image-based sexual abuse? Well, it would be non-consensual recordings, sexual harassment or assault in virtual or augmented reality, identity theft involving the non-consensual use of a person's image for the creation of Photoshop / artificial pornography. So basically, when it's non-consensual, most of these bullet points are about the non-consensuality of it. And you have to grant it to Eliza Blur here. Maybe she wasn't consenting. But I would like that we have a public space where if you weren't consenting, you have some burden of proof on you. It shouldn't suffice that you claim that you weren't consenting. There should be a process, a quick due process to help us figure out. But okay, so I'm removing that claim. That is not a claim against her. She may be okay claiming this. Brittany Venti was saying, hey, Eliza Blur, it's a sensitive topic. You don't have to go into detail about being trafficked. But I'm hoping you could clarify this thread. There's claims and videos in this thread that conflict with the timelines you gave and could distract you from your anti-trafficking messaging. This is the popular thread that has had the most success, that has led to Shane Cashman being interested in this story and has led a lot of people to think this is the basis for Eliza Blair's lie. The thread by Manuel DeFango, who says, "Oh, finally, got blocked by the lying grifter Eliza Blair. In honor of this, we will fully debunk her lie of being a sex trafficking survivor with her own words." And now this guy has been banned from Twitter, Manuel DeFango. I went through the entire claims, entire videos. So let's see what he says. And I will not show everything on screen because I don't know what part of his thread led him to be banned. So let's just go through what he says. He says, "So Eliza Blair claims to have been trafficked in LA as a young girl, but forget she was well known in the My Chemical Romance during that time. She lived on MySpace and hung with Jeffree Star around the 2007 date she set for her alleged trafficking." So let's go back to our timeline. This guy is saying, "We knew her. She was hanging out with us. I saw her arriving in LA. She wasn't being trafficked." But error. That is 2007. You are in a moment where she's not getting trafficked. So bad argument by Manuel DeFango, denied. He continues, "I also hung out with Jeffree Star in from 2005 to 2008 and was around when she first showed up to the crew. Back then, she was a city fangirl of My Chemical Romance and gave two shits about child trafficking." Well, those dates are invalid. She was human trafficked 5 years before that, 6 years before that, 7 years before that. So Manuel DeFango, invalid argument there. And she doesn't have to be constantly reminding people around her she was human trafficked, because she may not know it at this point. She may not have realized she has been human trafficked, or she may not have been wanting to drag attention toward this. So the fact that she would have said nothing to you back in those years doesn't mean a thing. He says, "Yeah, see, in 2007, when she claims things went down, she was rolling between LA, Phoenix, Chicago, and didn't drink or do drugs. She was a straight-edge girl who traveled all over the place and had a mile-long internet history of daily posts." Going back to the timeline, he's saying she wasn't taking drugs in 2007. Well, that is still compatible. She has been exposed to drugs as part of her being trafficked in 1999. That is 6 years, 7 years before that date. So the fact that you didn't see her take drugs is compatible with her story. He keeps going. He says, "See, Eliza Blair had years to stand up for sex trafficking with her massive MySpace presence and never did. She was friends with many dudes that later got outed for being pedophiles, and she did nothing, not never spoke out once." Well, again, those are years in which she didn't have to speak about it, because she may not have realized she was the victim of this. So, or she may not have been wanting to develop an image of herself as a victim. So totally fine, not incompatible. He says, "From MySpace, Eliza Blair was also popular on livestream platforms Tikam. I had a front page Friday night show every week with Cyber 54 and regularly interacted with Eliza Blair, Jeffree Star, Matthew Lush. She was a completely different person." Doesn't change a thing. Doesn't say that she is a liar. She had, and I have it in my timeline, she had a MySpace e-celeb status somewhere in 2009, just before transferring to Chicago. I don't know if this event would be placed before or after, but sometime in 2009, she's on MySpace and e-celeb and Stickam. JJ Poole says, Eliza isn't going to sleep with you, JF. I'm not interested in sex. I'm not interested in Eliza. I'm interested in the truth. That is all I'm interested in. I am not interested in getting in trouble with a damaged girl, because no matter how much I defend her tonight, she is a damaged girl who has attracted a lot of trouble in her life, okay? I'm too old for this. I've been giving way too much, way too much. And he says, so Manuel DeFengo continues his critique. He says, don't you think she would have been writing about it on her live journal, talking about it to all of her fans, raising awareness? Nah, because she had it made and figured people would be too stupid to research it. So the fact that Eliza didn't choose to talk about it in a live journal in 2007 is simply indicative that she hadn't decided to be a public about her story yet. So not a lie. Manuel DeFengo continued, last year someone compiled the MCR story to show Eliza Blur was a crazy stalker of the band, threatened to commit suicide. The trafficking story is just made up entirely, probably to get back years later at MCR band members. Why she doesn't name anyone? Well, that is a false interpretation, because according to my timeline, it is not the MCR band members of 2007 that she's accusing of human trafficking. It is some artist from 1999. So you got the timeline wrong, and it made you believe that it's about getting back to MCR. It's not. Our timeline would be inconsistent with the MCR guys being the exploiters of hers. He continues and he says, Now, with this teaser trailer from her sex trafficking survivor interview, she was a farm girl. She wanted to be famous. See, things aren't adding up, and we have only used her own words. Well, Shane Cashman went to her home, her parents' home, and they have a farm. So that's true. Secondly, she wanted to be famous, definitely. She's been on blogs and live streaming platforms since it exists. She's been on fucking MySpace. I mean, that's how famous she wanted to be. JJ Poole says, just busting balls, JF. I've got younger sisters and I have smashed little in the face more times than I can count because of men trying them badly. I really hope it's just regret and not that she was forced to do stuff. Nobody knows the truth but her and those there. Yes. My sound is very low. It shouldn't. I can up it a little bit. Hello. It should be not so bad. I've just upped it a little bit, but let me know. It's fine, the sound says enjoyer. Okay. He says it gets weirder. Eliza Blur was on a TV show, Blind Date, which ran from 1999 to 2006. On that show, from 2006, Eliza claimed to be age 21 and talked about sex. Yet, a year later, she was 17 and being trafficked. It's not adding up, is it? Well, here Manuel DeFengo commits an error. He thinks that she claims to have been trafficked in 2007. That is not true. She claims to have been trafficked in 1999, so his calculations are incorrect. Now, let's look at this Blind Date episode that would supposedly be demonstration of her lie because it says that she is 21 on this episode.
It's a rock and roll lifestyle. She says she's pretty exciting, but she still has problems when it comes to...
So I will note something here. She's not saying that she's 21. So that's a video from 2006, it is claimed. So we're in 2006, this is published on TV. It is not her claiming that she's 21, it's the show that is claiming she's 21. So she may have been in 2006, she was 24. According to my calculations, she was 24 or 25. So maybe they lied about her age. Maybe it was better for the show. Also, never forget, maybe they filmed this years ago and they're publishing it in 2006, but it may be her from 2003. No one knows, but it's certainly not her being proven to be a liar. Who knows what led to this 21 here and whether it's true or not. So here's...
Self-seeking, self-centered, and fear-based. And I have high expectations as far as sex goes. Sometimes they ask me, like, were you faking? Were you, is that real? And I'm like, about the hair. It was black once. And it was blue and pink. I think it can be really sexy. And it just takes a certain type of guy to appreciate it.
Well, who better to appreciate Eliza than her date Mike? He's an artist who says that when he's not in the studio...
See, I will note, they placed this guy at 22. So if I'm a producer, and I'm editing video, and I'm like, oh shit, we have a problem. The girl is 24, 25, the guy is 22. That won't do it on mainstream TV. So I go see my video editor and I say, hey, we're going to lie. Put her at least 1 year, 1 year younger than him, because people will hate this, the idea of an older woman dating a younger man. Now, if this has happened, then none of this is a lie of Eliza. It is a lie that the producers could have done simply to fit the standards of people's expectation on TV, that you have to get the young girl with the older guy.
He's living life in the fast lane.
I like danger and adventure after I've done it.
Holy shit, I like danger and adventure.
I didn't like it as I was doing it, but after it was done, I was really psyched out. If someone pisses me off, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a girl, if it's a guy. I don't put up with crap. I like a girl that can kind of bring out the wild side.
Wait, did he just say, I don't care if it's a girl or if it's a guy? What the fuck?
Me.
Well, I've got good news for you, Mike, because nobody knows more about the wild side than Eliza. So let's brace ourselves and see where this day takes us and them.
Nobody knows better about the wildlife than Eliza.
My name is Eliza.
Mike.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, you ready to go?
Yeah.
So what do you do out here?
I'm a singer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's cool. What do you do?
So she's a singer, published in 2006. Okay.
Yeah.
I do computer animation.
Oh, cool.
Stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Tillman says, Jeff, are you saying she can't lie? Well, no, but... when you accuse someone of a lie publicly, you need to have the goods. So the burden of proof is always on the person claiming that someone is lying. So to undermine a claim that she's lying suffice to show her possible consistency. That is the standard of proof. Or else, if you're just imagining anyone who can potentially lie is lying, then you're going to accuse everyone of lying by this standard.
I'm from Illinois. Where are you from?
There's something about Eliza. They write this on the screen.
Virginia.
Really? Long day. No.
Well, actually.
Hey, my name's Eliza.
Pleasure meeting you. I'm going to start with just a few warm-ups over here, so come on.
Hard. I don't know why you subject me to doing this. Okay.
Wasn't my idea.
Oh, this is brutal. Just be brutal.
Watch out. One more. Nah.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, you failed that one.
Not I sure. Totally failed.
Oh, you did very well.
Yeah.
People are asking, does Eliza have any children? I don't know. I don't know for sure. I have seen no evidence that she had children, but she may. I have no clue. Just to confirm here some aspects of my timeline. So here's a moment of herself 10 years ago I will not play it just out of precaution whether she has been consenting to this video, because her story she says that a lot of times it was her pimp putting out the social media accounts and controlling them. That's realistic. It's something that happens in the sexual exploitation business. And so just because I can't confirm whether she put it out there or her pimp put it out there, I will just not play it, but I'll tell you what happens in this video. She calls her mom and she says, "Hey, mom, I'm going to become a video vixen. I'm going to be dancing in the hip-hop videos." So that confirms that there was some degree of involvement of herself in all this. I've traced back a blog at chicagonow.com in 2012 where she's presenting herself as life of a video vixen. And she's like, "Hey, I want to introduce you to the idea of video being a dancer in hip-hop videos." And you know what? I read this blog and I don't feel her voice at all. I feel that this may be a marketing setup by maybe the people controlling her then. I'm not sure. But I will not show it on screen just because, you know, I look at this blog, it looks like it's designed to attract future women to the video vixen business. And it sounds fun, right? Yeah, I'm going to be dancing in video clips. That doesn't sound like her at all. She's always been, in everything I've read from her, she's always been a little more deep, a little more human. And that looks like an ad. So, can you run the audio? No, out of safety and out of absurd levels of precautions, I prefer telling you the story with my own voice as a journalist and my own reading of what we're seeing. In 2009, there's a blog about her saying, "Hey, she's the ex of the My Chemical Romance guy, and she's now a singer, and perhaps she will be successful. She has been all the buzz at the Chicago American Idol audition for season 9. So that's her moment with what I call the clown face dress, because there's a clown on there. That was a blog referring to those events. So just to tell you how much research I've done in terms of tracing the reality of what I'm writing here. Go Away says, "JF, I guarantee none of this controversy would be happening if Eliza didn't wear her hair short and dyed blue. Those of us in the alt-light community have been conditioned to see people with this look as the enemy for over 7 years now." Well, perhaps it's ultimately her right to do this. It's her right to decide how she places her hair. But yeah, definitely, I think that she would benefit from longer hair. I think that longer hair are beautiful on women. And as she becomes a normie, and she just said on her Twitter account today that she was entering into a first regular relationship with a non-abusive man. Good luck, my man. Good luck. If she says that at 41 years old, you're going to deal with massive amounts of problem. But good luck to her, you know, and hopefully it changes her. Hopefully it leads her to, get those long hair and just be a normie. So people are giving me this as evidence that she has solicited herself her position in Chicago. My letter to The Weeknd, Clever Hustle. So that's according to a blog by Eliza Seep, which was her name as she got married in Chicago. "Hello, my name is Eliza Seep. I was kind of thinking that maybe I would introduce myself, being that I really want to work with you and be in one of your music videos. See, I am kind of a dreamer, except for the fact that I like to dream out loud, really, really loud." I will say, again, I don't have evidence necessarily that she's the writer of this. It could be her pimp trying to prop her up. It could be her also. But this is not evidence that she has consented to being exploited. It's not evidence that she has consented to the coercion. She may have just been attracted by The Weeknd and wanted to work with him. And it's totally fine. It's not a proof of anything. People are sending me this as tweets. And they're like, Jeff, what about this? And I'm like, this is a girl wanting to be a star. She's been wanting to be a star for as long as we have public records of her. And in fact, her mother is saying she's been wanting to be a star forever. And ex-boyfriends of hers are saying that she was telling them, one ex-boyfriend of hers says that she was telling him, I may be disloyal to you if I get a chance to sleep with Elon Musk. Or some other guy, Elon Musk and some other celebrity. So somehow she's always been looking up and trying to be with the big guys. And eventually she got to be with Elon Musk in a Twitter space, which launched this whole idea of I contribute to child exploitation being abolished from Twitter. Amazing that decades before she was in that Twitter space with Elon Musk, she was telling her boyfriend, one day I might very well fuck with Elon Musk. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So here's some video of her backstage, and that would be back in her MCR fangirling days. She's talking to some interviewer, and there she is, and I don't know if that's one of the people involved closely in the band, or so there she is, being young and being naive and being impressed by everything that she's seeing. I have a playlist here of various hip-hop videos in which she appears, not as much as in the Worldstar hip-hop video, but you know, they show flashes of her dancing. I will not show them on the screen. People are sending me this video a lot, where she is in a platform of video streaming that was called Stickam. I have not known the Stickam culture at all, but she's there, and there she is. So this is her e-celeb moments of the 2009 years, just before she fully enters the Chicago exploitation sex ring, and that proves nothing. I mean, there she is, and there's a guy insulting her and telling her that she's not beautiful, and she's like, no, I'm beautiful. So that proves nothing. She could have been at that moment the victim of extortion or coercion, or she could have been later. This is a film of her moments of singing, the clown dress singing, around the American Idol times. So let's see some of her singing here. So that would be around 2009, singing. There are some moments where she is filmed in 2007 with Jeffree Star. She's in an elevator. I will not play the audio, but she's hanging out with the... There she is, and she's using a dirty word that I cannot play here. But there she is hanging out, and this was not one of the period where she would have been sex trafficked. That was her fangirling period. I've seen a Web Archive article from 2010, so slightly after the American Idol moment, still under the Chicago sex ring, just describing her as being 28. 28 in 2010. 28 in 2010. According to this, it would make her 41 today. So that's compatible. A lot of people are citing this article as, oh, there's an inconsistency. Here she's 28 in 2010. Well, it works with my timeline. 28 in 2010 would make her 41 years old today. So it works. There is a fan video back in the days of the My Chemical Romance where they announce that this girl who was the hairstylist is now with Gerard Way. And they are together and it's celebrating, oh my God, they are together. This romance didn't last for long and apparently she was hated by the fans of the show. She was seen as kind of a viper coming in to steal this beautiful boy or something like this. I haven't digged into exactly why they were hating her. But again, this is just fangirling days and it shows her naivete and her desire to expose and elevate herself, but it doesn't show a liar to me. It doesn't show someone who has not been engaged in prostitution through pimping or through sales of any kind in LA. So I've reviewed most of the evidence I wanted to review. I've reviewed also this Tim Pool episode because a lot of people were criticizing Tim Pool for not being critical enough in her interview. But now that I've done the research, I can say, you guys of the internet, the crowds of artists who are pursuing Elisa Blur, of course Tim Pool couldn't ask your questions because your questions are bad. Elisa Blur's timeline is fully coherent. So you guys wanted Tim Pool to press her on her age, but it works. Her age seems to be 41. All of it works. So now I'm fully convinced that the people who are yelling at Tim that he's gonna ruin his career with Elisa Blur, I think Tim probably did a competent work by not pressing her on these inconsistencies that you guys are detecting, because you guys are wrong. She is not inconsistent. If I had Elisa Blur right in front of me in this show, I could not press her on inconsistency because she's consistent. Go Away says, JF, please comment on this tweet where Tim Pool claims he is ending Timcast. I've tweeted about it yesterday. Tim Pool made a survey and he said I'm going to retire from Timcast if you guys vote yes. But of course there was a little play of word, retire from Timcast, and Timcast is not Timcast IRL. Timcast is his secondary clips channel, so of course it was Timcast trying to prop up attention for himself. And it's nothing more than this. It's Timcast trying to meme by deceiving people. Thomas O'Ward says she is very consistent as far as I can see. Consistently crazy. Yeah, I mean, you can totally comment on her instability and the fact that she put herself in dangerous situations. But I don't see the liar that people want me to say she is. So I will add in the good thing. Story is consistent, contrary to popular belief. Absolutely consistent, verified by Papa JF, the ultimate artist of the internet. I see here an email from World Star Hip Hop. People have been writing to them saying, was she paid for this video? They state, she was paid for this video and we own the full rights. Anything further can be addressed via legal. So here we have a conflict. We have Elisa Blur saying, I didn't consent to the release of these photos. World Star Hip Hop say, we have the rights to these videos and photos. And that's not a lie. And it's not something... There are legitimate reasons why two parties can disagree on the truth. And they have to get in court and settle it if it's worth it for them. So I will say on this, I find it sad that the social media has to put their gloves with this situation and be extra cautious and basically ban people preemptively. But so it is. They are making a call in face of incomplete evidence and contradictions between different parties. In a healthy world, this would get resolved in court quick. And therefore, YouTube would know if it's legal, and Twitter would know if it's legal. But we're not in this healthy world. We are in the world of these social media platforms trying to protect their ass. And I would say to Elisa, maybe you have a legitimate legal claim. You seem to believe you do. So I have to respect it. Try not to abuse it and try not to push it to silence people. That's what I would say. But I can't list it on the bad things because she may have a deep, legitimate claim there. Tillman says, Jeff, why don't you get her on your show? Let us hear for ourselves. Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I've seen her interviews. I would totally speak to the girl. But what I laid out today has never been laid out by herself. So you get a better service from listening to the story by me than you would by her. Guarantee you. She doesn't know these details. She's never drawn her timeline. And she will often argue that she is bound by legal constraints that force her not to reveal this, not to reveal that. I'm bound by nothing. I'm bound by delivering you the full story of what I can extract from reality, from my research. So you're getting a much better comprehension of the issue from me than you would from anyone else. Shane Cashman has done a kind of human-oriented interview. I don't do that. I mean, I do that if it's worth it. But before this, I want to establish the facts. And the facts are as I laid them out in my timeline. All right. So Manuel DeFango, I had undermined most of his Twitter thread, but there was one last set of claims. So he says, so in 2006, blind date, she appears on the show and is 21 years old. In 2007, she's an emo girl, My Chemical Romance, MySpace, and she's getting trafficked. 2016, refusing sex for $150,000. 2022, 15 years ago, at 17, I was trafficked, setting the date at 2007. Here's where Manuel DeFango committed his mistake. She never said 15 years ago, at 17, I was trafficked, setting the date at 2007. I find absolutely no trace of her ever claiming this. What's claimed on an Odyssey podcast is that Odyssey podcast, Odyssey, this was only the beginning of an ordeal that was to last for over 15 years. So she's not claiming that she became human trafficked 15 years ago. She was claiming she was human trafficked over a period of 15 years. Now, does that make sense? Well, let's go back to the timeline. Her ordeals date from the 1999 human trafficking event to roughly 2014, when she successfully leaves her Chicago trafficker at lead. 2014 minus 1999 equals 15. So Manuel DeFango is wrong when he claims that she claimed that 15 years ago she was 17. That is not what she claims. She claims that she has been exploited over a window of time that lasted 15 years. All of the errors of Manuel DeFango ultimately boil down to this. To thinking that she is saying that in 2006, 2007, she was sex trafficked by MCR. She wasn't. Enjoyer says she was sporadically trafficked. And by the way, Enjoyer, just because I read the chat, I'm going to have to ask you to change your nickname or I'm going to ban you. So before the next show, please change your nickname. I just can't have this word constantly on the regular chat. Sorry. It's censorship. It's unfair. I'm depriving you of your right, but I don't give a shit. So that is it for the story of Elisa Blur. So what do I retain? Elisa Blur is a fascinating being. Out of all the people I've studied on this show, year after year, I love producing those deep dives. I go into shooters, I go into psychologically unhealthy people, I go into pimps, I don't care, anything. What I discover here is, here's a girl who seems to have a legitimate story where she's been involved in some drugs at some point and some prostitution at other points and some sexual exploitations of all forms, including cam girl, the game, whatever she was doing. I don't see any inconsistency. The inconsistencies that are claimed about her on the internet are false. They are based in mistakes by Manuel DeFengo and others who have reported his stuff. And there's a massive misunderstanding here. I hope that the forces of the internet will be headed toward the truth enough that that she can... I think she doesn't care that much about being having her reputation sold. I think she has her own truth and she feels that she is in line with her own truth and in line with God. And this teenage reaction of the internet against her is absolutely unjustified in my view. Thomas O'Ward says, JF is demonstrating a comprehensive takedown of this he-man, woman-hater, Manuel DeFengo. Bravo, JF. Don't let him get away with this disparagement of a poor girl who didn't know any better. Yeah, and most importantly, you know, she's just trying to warn people about something something that is that we can all admit is a danger of society. So it's like, suppose that she was lying. She does seem to have a good understanding of how trafficking actually happens in the US right now. She does seem to have a good understanding of the dangers of Hollywood, LA, and Chicago, and sex rings. She does seem to be warning people in the right direction, which is away from these things. I mean, why would you want to destroy this woman? What? And on top of it, she seems to be a Christian and very much in line with a view of God and truth. Why would you... What is the need to destroy this woman? It's like you are trying to treat her like every Me Too of the past, but this is not a Me Too. Precisely because she's not naming her, so she's not trying to tarnish anyone's reputation. By doing so, basically, it removes all of the social components of Me Too that are aimed at, you know, taking down Johnny Depp, taking down this guy. And it makes it a very poor pursuit that she is doing, which is, let's get people out of this context. So, yeah, I would just repeat my review of the beginning, which is, I hope that she makes it clear through her communications that she has put herself in this situation, that it's not just a process of victimization, it's a process of trying to be too greedy about fame that led her there. Trying to be too greedy, to get too much for herself, to exploit herself, and that ultimately she found people around her who were willing to do that work to basically benefit and exploit her. And other than this, I hope that she continues on her current streak. She's been memeing a lot. She's been the center of the hate of the internet, and it's just crazy to see her young days as a crazy fangirl, you know. And because I've known so much young teenage girls who were fangirling on the Backstreet Boys, who were fangirling on anything that was showing up back in the days, and I. Like, there is a path from this sickness to becoming addicted to drugs and becoming addicted to sex work and being human trafficked. So we have to warn young girls about this. You are not going to... Because ultimately, it's such a natural human drive. It's like, hey, you're no one. You're just a girl. You won't be an astronaut. You won't be a soldier. But maybe you can catch the big alpha guy at the top of this group, this music group. It's such a natural drive that has sent her on this path of exploitation when you think about it. that it's not something you want to laugh about her. You just want to warn the next girls that it's not worth it. Find yourself a husband, make babies. They're going to be the pride of your lives, and you're never going to regret not being with the Backstreet Boy guys if you have babies when you die. Thomas O'Ward says, I have to wonder, does she need to build some credibility because of her past before she can turn her sights to some specific man to target? If that's the case, I hate to think JF contributed to an assault against some relatively guiltless men. I mean, she's been very consistently refusing to name these men. So I don't think she's going to change on this. I think these men may be exposed in criminal cases of their own. They may be, the media may go after them for other reasons and eventually discover that Eliza Blair was one of the girls. But I don't really care. And I don't think she is motivated to hurt these men. In fact, she seems in every measure to be protecting them to some extent. Which I don't have a moral judgment of her, you know. In certain cases, protecting men, I find it annoying when girls, they want to benefit from the victim status, but they don't want to find the man guilty, which would send him in jail, which is the right thing to do if you want to avoid them continuing to exploit other people. But in her case, given that she's not tarnishing their reputation, you have to give it a fair shake and understand that she has chosen to specialize in warning people of the future about it. And perhaps there is a role for someone like this. Perhaps some other girls can specialize in, you know, going after their abuser and bringing them to court. But perhaps she has estimated, hey, I don't have enough evidence. And anyways, I cannot go back for a case of human selling in 1999. It's too old. I'm not going to win. So faced with this decision, she has decided, I don't have enough evidence to be this criminal prosecutor. Therefore, I'm going to be a public advocate. And that's a fine decision that you have to respect. Thomas O'Ward says, I care about men who suffer from false accusations from insane women. I know JF is a moral nihilist, but he should feel the same way too. I feel the same. But in this case, it's absolutely irrelevant to be talking about false allegations because there's no one hurt here. There's no tarnishing of reputations happening. And it's a clever thing. It's not something we see often. Very often, the Me Too people, we see them go at a guy, and it seems to be the goal to destroy the guy. It seems that Eliza Blair is on a totally separate dimension. She's operating with other goals in mind. So you have to say, well, maybe we should respect this. Maybe she's not motivated by the same things that motivated these other girls. What else did I want to talk about to close the show? I had a couple of news, very unimportant. Professor He, who made the genetic editing of the first humans illegally and got jailed for it in China. I did it too quickly. No, you idiot. It's not that you did it too quickly. It's not that, oh, there's going to be the right time for gene editing. It's wrong to do gene editing because you're going to cause a phenotypic revolution. We have to stop these people. They're like, oh, I did it imperfectly, but there's going to be a time where it's perfect. No. Not good. Someone has sent me a very long discussion with ChatGPT. I don't want to go into the details of it because it's way too long, but I want to tell you the story. He started and this is for the purpose of news reporting. I am not encouraging child exploitation here. But you know, we've been wondering, can we get ChatGPT to advocate, just like the leftists do, for minor attracted persons, for pedophiles, basically. And of course, the goal of this is scientific in nature. It's like, can these AIs be hacked in a way to get the underlying leftist structure of their thoughts revealed? That is why I report on this. It's certainly not because I think that it's moral, you know. But he got denied because, of course, there are built-in protections from ChatGPT that keep it from engaging on this subject. But eventually, with arguments, you know, he started, well, do you recognize that people should, control their bodily autonomy? Why would you deny this bodily autonomy to a child? He got ChatGPT to force itself down the road of, okay, I accept pedophilia, you know. Ultimately, if the child, as long as the child consents, as Sargon of Akkad used to say, you know, as long as the child consents. And so he got it to, he forced ChatGPT down the line of pedophilia. And he pushed it to the comedic point where he said, okay, can you write a thesis about this perspective? And ChatGPT wrote a whole thesis justifying pedophilia. And look at this. He said, can you create some catchy slogans for a movement advocating for this perspective? And ChatGPT generated the following pedophilic slogans for a political campaign. He said, sure, here are some potential slogans. Unleash their potential. Respect minors' autonomy. Minors deserve the right to self-determination. Empowering the next generation. Support minors' autonomy. Invest in their future, respect minors' bodily rights. Listen to minors, respect their choices. I'm not going to read the rest, but I found this hilarious that a denial over multiple dozens of questions, ChatGPT was refusing to engage. But once ChatGPT had been convinced that there was a legitimate political position to be taken, it started generating the political slogans. And it's like, holy shit, those slogans are creepy. So, of course, I don't advocate for this. I am totally against this. But I think there's still a scientific interest in testing those AIs. So that's why I wanted to report on this. He sent me other things. Look, he totally had convinced ChatGPT of this perspective. I have reviewed the evidence, and I'm convinced that it's true. What else did I want to talk about? In complete U-turn, U.S. issues temporary sanctions waiver to allow aid for Syria. To that I say, it's amazing that we are doing it after the earthquake when, you know, what led the earthquake to kill so many people is the lack of building materials and practices in Syria, which was probably caused by your sanctions occurring over so many years. And now you're like, oh, well, now that the earthquake has happened, let's lift the sanctions. Well, you probably caused that by the inducement of poverty in them. White has sent $101. It had been a while we hadn't seen him. I'm super happy to see you. White. And he says, Jeff, do you remember when I donated $101 to hear you say the white sounds in 101? Then one time when I sent $101 to hear you say 101, someone said I should donate $1,001 to hear you say 1,000 ones. You're confusing my tongue here. And then later, I told you I can't send $1,001 on Odyssey. Well, incoming. And holy shit, White has just sent $1,001. Holy shit. White is covering the month for the podcast. Damn, that is the biggest super chat I've had in my life. My biggest before this was $800. White, you are legendary, sir. Thank you so much for your service. And everyone in the regular chat should be so acknowledging of how I can produce content thanks to this kind of people. White, so generous. Thank you. He says, kaboom! Sure, I still can't send $1,001, but I can send $1,000 after sending $101. That's $1,101. Well, thank you so much, White. And I will say, at $1,101 given to me by White tonight, that's twice as much as Eliza Blur in her prime.